Luke 21, the first four verses. I'd like to just share some thoughts on Christian giving and expenses. Luke 21, first four verses. And he looked up, he being the Lord, and saw the rich men, plural, casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. I look at the passage and I'm reminded that all have given some. Some have given a lot. Many gave much. Some gave more. And while all gave, some gave all. The rich men gave a lot. I make that assumption. I make that assumption that, as a matter of fact, they gave much because they could. And assuming again, perhaps they even felt they should. Jesus saw that. He saw that they were casting in their gifts. I don't think it's unimportant to note that the collection boxes, supposed by some to be boxes that were shaped like trumpets, and as they were casting in their coinage, cast them into the trumpets, the mouth of the trumpet. And while it is not said, I make an assumption again that some give so as to trumpet. Okay? And listen, you cannot give the back of the hand to all that they gave. They gave a lot. They were rich men. God expects exemplary stewardship from people of wealth. But you know, he also saw the poor lady, the poor widow, teaching that poor people are not exempt. Poverty-stricken people are not exempt from giving just because they're poor. Some people don't give because they say they don't have. I don't know, but except in dire circumstance, that there's not something that can be given. It may not be something that you can throw down into the trumpet collection box. Something else. I want you to note again that the Lord looks on, not so much at the bottom of the box, but the bottom of the heart. Because it is out of the heart that whatever is given is given. And as we talked about the omniscient God on Sunday morning, God knows what's at the bottom of the heart that drives the giving. He's watching this. This poor widow gave two mites. two mites. She gave, as it says here in the text, she gave more. Verse 3, she gave more. More than they all. Now I look at that a couple of ways. Either all of them collectively or all of them individually. If, you know, either way the Lord's going to keep the accounts. Don't know how many rich men there were. It may mean that she gave, in his estimation, again looking at the heart, she gave more than they all collectively. Now, from a fiscal point of view, he's not leaning or giving consideration. He's looking at something else. The Lord looks at what's left after one gives. He looks at what's left after one gives. We may never, not likely that we would here in America, but we may never be required to give all. But the truth of the matter is, all should be willing to give it all in sacrifice to the Lord if need be. While all may not be able to give like the widow, all should be willing to at least desire that. The Apostle Paul commended the Corinthian church, a reference being at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. He said, "For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath." Even if it's a little bit, and not according to that he hath not. That just because he does not have, as the rich men did, and were able to cast in much, he looks at the willing mind. In the Old Testament, it is well marked out. In matter of fact, a willing heart is key to this whole subject matter. A willing heart. There's a couple of places in the book of Exodus, chapter 25 and chapter 35, that read this way. In Exodus 25 and verse 2, "Speak to the children of Israel, bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart." With his heart. In the 35th chapter, verses 21 and 22, says, "They came, every one whom his spirit made willing, they brought. As many as were willing-hearted." So willingness to give is key, and it is that which the Lord sees as well as the sum that is cast into the trumpet collection box. So then, we can say that all have given some. Some have given a lot. Many gave much. Some gave more. They were unwilling to hold back anything. I read again a little snippet out of history concerning Queen Victoria. I remember years ago when I first saw this, it moved my heart. And I thought I'd share it with you again because it fits so sweetly in the context. But I guess it was in the months after the Crimean War, the Queen determined that she was going to have a great celebration in London, and she was going to present medals and badges and awards of different kind to the returning soldiers from the war. And so on the day of the celebration, she is standing there, and all of the awards are laid out. She didn't have any idea how many she would be dispensing, but she felt it was something that was right to do, much like the movement in our country today. So as the parade started and the procession started, some of the soldiers, they showed up with bandages on their head, came straight from the MASH units, over their eyes, little blood, and very patiently and sweetly and compassionately she pinned a badge on each collar of each of these soldiers. Some of them then followed along with empty sleeves, and they came up to the queen, and she pinned a different kind of a badge on the lapel of the soldier. Some came limping in on crutches, but whether it was something as severe as the sleeveless shirt or the bandaged head or the crutches, she was just as kind and generous and emotionally moved as the writer in history records. And after the procession is all finished and those who were able to walk have gone through, there were four soldiers still coming with a litter, a little carrier, and as they approached the queen, she saw that here was another soldier, the very last one in the line, who had no arms or legs. And so when he stopped in front of her, she could no longer contain herself, but began to weep, and very tenderly leaned over and kissed his brow, and she pinned a badge and a medal on him, and she just simply and very quietly and emotionally said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so it is that each of us need to be determined to leave it all on the field of battle, so to speak. And we are in a battle, whether it is of time or talents or treasures, to leave it all out there. Hold nothing back. At least, at the very least, be willing, if need be, if required, to give it all, lay it all out, mindful of the one who gave it all for us, having laid down his life for his friends. Leave you to think about this challenge from the pen of Horatio Bonar, where he said, "Go and labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do thy Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not his servants tread it still?" Christian expenses. While some gave a lot, we set that all in context in two ways. Two contemporary social concerns. Whenever I hear this, I still, my mind reels as though it could not possibly be true. But when I think of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of men, and in many cases women, who have died wearing the nation's uniform on the field of battle, it is all sobering to me to realize that only 2% of the population in America have ever worn the uniform. And every time I hear that, I'm thinking, that can't be right. Because my mind goes immediately to the sacrifices. And then I'm reminded again that there is another battle that goes on behind closed doors, out of the media cameras, and even not quite silenced in the conservative religious community, but more than 75 million babies have never lived to see the light of day in America. In America. There's something wrong with that picture. So I say that to you to put it all in perspective, that probably every day I don't know the numbers exactly. I can't recall the statistics. The last I read, I don't know that they're even valid. But every day, every single day, in America only, untold thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people leave this earth and pass into eternity. Half of them having never heard a clear explanation of the gospel message. To me, it's all very sobering when you think about Christian giving and Christian expenses. Come back again to this text in Luke 21 and think about what the widow gave. She gave everything. And only a person who has implicit trust in the promises of God to supply our needs has the courage enough to give everything they have, or at least be willing to do so if required. God bless you if you are of that spirit. If not, pray that God would give you that willing-hearted spirit in the days ahead as the battle begins to heat up in America. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for God's people, for their large, large heart, their great kindness, and their ability to see needs and move to meet needs. We are grateful, Lord, for that company of soldiers of Christ who do not shrink away or excuse themselves from the field of battle, but present themselves to the commander-in-chief on a daily basis to enter into the struggle in this battle for truth. Lord, help us not only to be vigorous defenders of it, but help us, Lord, to be equally fearless in our proclamation of it. For Jesus' sake, amen.